Episode number 13, Children's Ministry in the Trenches with Esther Marino. Here we go, Tribe.
This is the Kidmin Tribe Podcast. We're helping you as children's pastors, volunteers, and leaders plan, create, and execute incredible life-changing kids worship experiences at your church. With practical tips, coaching, training, and resources from the best in kids ministry around the world. It's time to join the tribe.
Hey everyone, welcome to the Kidmin Tribe Podcast. My name is Jason Noble, I'm your host, and I'm so excited that you're here today. I believe this week's edition of the Kidmin Tribe Podcast is going to encourage, breathe a breath of fresh air, and really help you to do kids ministry better. My guest is Esther Marino. She's been in kids ministry for 15 years, and she is dedicated and passionate about raising up the next generation. She's worked in various churches across various denominations and really helps to deal with some of the issues that we're really facing in kids ministry today. She's also host of Children's Ministry Today on the Fishbowl Radio Network. In addition to hosting live webinars and training and really helping leaders, she also does in-person and Zoom training for churches and children's ministries across the nation. Esther is a gifted speaker, teacher, and author. She holds a master's in Christian education from Ashland Theological Seminary. Esther currently lives in Huntsville, Alabama, with her husband, Guilando, and their two beautiful children, Grace and Gideon. You are not going to want to miss a single moment of this interview. You'll love Esther and her heart to reach kids and reach the next generation and really to equip and encourage leaders. We'll jump in with Esther right after this.
Hey, children's pastors and leaders. Get ready to transform your kids' worship experiences with 1230 Kids. We're serving your children's ministry with a massive ready-made media library with done-for-you countdowns, games, mini movies, full kids' series kits, lyric videos with hand motion versions for kids worship, and more. Pick up media individually or save with Go Unlimited with plans as low as $33 a month. We also provide custom media for kids ministries and curriculum providers. We've produced custom graphics and videos for Seeds Family Worship, Awana, Children's Ministry Deals, Go Curriculum, Yancey, and others. We also provide free training for your kids leaders. Get help with social media, church online, volunteers, programming, worship, and more. Get started today at 1230kids.com. That's 1230kids.com.
Hello, Kidmin Tribe. I'm your host, Jason Noble. I'm so excited you're on today. Our goal is to give you a breath of fresh air every time we listen and talk and really help you and equip you with great tools. Today, I have somebody you're going to love. Esther Marino is a speaker, an author, a radio show host. She is the founder of Child's Heart LLC and is dedicated to training and equipping leaders. Esther, welcome. I'm so glad you're here.
Jason, it is about time
that
you got me on here. I was starting to get a complex. Like, how come Jason has not reached out to me yet? Like, maybe I am not as good as I think I am.
Oh, no. Man, I was so thankful when you said yes. And, you know, the goal of the Kidmin Tribe Podcast is to train and equip leaders, and especially leaders. We talk to kids pastors a lot, but the volunteers in the trenches, even like how to, you know, get down to that level to train and equip and really kind of dig into that. And so I'm very excited that we all get to talk today and from Huntsville, Alabama. So in the South, we're so glad you're here. So talk to me about what God's been putting on your heart.
Oh, my goodness. So much. It has just been such an honor. It's funny. So I have been in children's ministry since seminary. When I graduated from seminary, the entire time I am taking courses and classes with pastors and people who I know now who are pastors of mega churches. And the entire time I know that I'm there because I'm devoted to the next generation, which means that I sat in the back and I was on Facebook when we were talking about super theological concepts.
Me too. And I'm actually now a lead pastor. So I totally feel you.
It is, but it has just been such a joy. So really, Jason, part of my story is just growing up you know, in the church. My father's ministry, he's actually a retired minister, which I am so impressed with. If you know the percentage of senior pastors who actually retire in the ministry.
It's like 10%, so, isn't it? I mean,
it's it's very low. So his ministry was to broken churches. Wow. So what that meant was they would send us to a super dysfunctional church. And as soon as he got it healthy, we would have to get up again and go to another dysfunctional space.
How did that work for you? As a PK, what did you think?
Jason, it was horrifying.
I bet.
Because I'm a kid, you would leave service and your windows are busted open because the church secretary was upset and she has mental health problems. And my dad is trying to convince me everything's okay. And I'm like, she's gonna kill us.
Wow.
So I actually thought it was a bad thing. But as I grew, I realized that at an early age, I realized that the church is not filled with perfect people. Yes. It's filled with broken people. And even leadership, being exposed to that early on with leadership, gave me more of a realistic perspective when it came to people. So I'll say that I may have a little bit of tougher skin than the average person when your life has been threatened and your windows have been busted by leaders. So
there's PK and then there's next level PK, which is where you're at. I mean, that's like next level.
I'm like next level PK. Right. Jason, so when I went to seminary, my mother was in tears. Like she cried. Like she said, ministry is horrible. Do not go into ministry. Like, and it was really because of her history and everything that she had experienced as a first lady standing alongside my father. So it was just a very tough time for her. And I'm kind of like, ooh, God called me. So it was kind of a difficult.
Right. Yeah. I mean, you can't really say no. I mean, you know. And so did your family have to go through a little bit of a healing process because I mean, there's a lot of leaders probably listening today that have been through bad situations or have been through difficult challenges. And I think that really becomes our view of how we see ministry. What kind of healing process did you guys have to go through or you have to go through to be made whole and ready for ministry?
I will tell you that I think that my dad is tough as nails.
Yes.
Because, I mean, the truth is we didn't have any type of counseling session or you know anything like that. But I'll say this. My dad stayed connected to the source.
Oh, good.
And I knew he did. As a child, I knew there would be times that I would go into the bedroom because, you know, as a kid, you know, you don't care. You bust in the doors.
Right.
Your mom's in the bathroom. You're going to open up the door.
Like, yes, exactly.
And there are numerous times when I remember opening up the door and seeing my dad and he's just looking up at the sky. And I knew even as a child that that man is connecting with God. So for me, I really believe that it was this connection that he kept with the Lord that really strengthened him to go into those environments and do the same thing over and over and over again. But I admire my dad so much. I'm like, if he did it, then I can do it.
Exactly. Well, and I think you bring up a good point. To be healed, you have to stay connected to your source. So what's your source? Do you view your church as your source? Do you view your children's ministry as your source, or is God your source? Because if anything other than God is your source, it is going to be a rough, rough go. And so,
Jason is so easy because as we are doing the motions of ministry, it can be so easy to think that we are connected to the source and be completely disconnected and so into the doing that we're not connected to our Heavenly Father. So it is just, it is so important to be in our word, to be reading our Bibles, to allow it to transform us. I think that was the most dangerous thing in seminary when I was in seminary, because it becomes your homework. Like the Bible becomes your homework. Yes. So I had to fight to make the Bible so attractive to me because I'm like, I don't want to open up the Bible.
Exactly. Exactly. And that's what happens in leadership today, too. Like if you're preparing for your lesson or you're getting ready for your sermon, like your Bible becomes almost like you're not studying it for personal enrichment. You're studying it for, and you've got to stay connected. I mean, because the word without God's power is, what does the Bible say? I mean, word without power, you're missing out. And so, you know, how can you give out something you don't have. And I think that's something we talk a lot about on the Kidman Tribe. Our kids are watching what we're giving
out.
And it's not just words.
I think that that's why it's so important for children's ministry leaders to stay connected to the source, because at the end of the day, you cannot pass a faith that you do not possess. If you do not have that faith, you cannot pass that faith on. But I think in the motions of ministry, we can. If I make it super fun, if I try to be relevant, it's going to work. But we can't trick the Holy Spirit.
No, exactly. And I'll tell you, I honestly don't believe in burnout if you're connected to the source.
Yeah, absolutely.
Burnout happens when you're not connected and you use all of your energy and God isn't refilling that. If you don't have joy in ministry, what's joy? Joy is the strength of the Lord. And so, if you don't have joy, if you don't have those connection points, it's easy to burn out. And I think especially doers, God is really good. Leaders, listen, God is good at his job. He doesn't need you to try to take it from him. All right. You're working with him. There's even Sundays when I was a kids pastor, and even now as a lead pastor in a church plant, I say, God, this is your mess. I'm just here to work with you. You're the owner. I'm just the manager. You got to take care of it.
Absolutely. Can you tell my husband that? Because I was trying to tell him I got a little busy and I wasn't in my word like I needed to. So if I ripped off your head, it's because I wasn't connected to the source.
Exactly. Well, it's always a good sign. And you have to know, I say it's your leader dashboard. Those signs are the dashboard that your gauges are going red and you're in trouble. And so,
absolutely.
That's definitely. And we all have those moments. So there's a lot of grace for that. And we can always get reconnected. So, let's dive into this. What is one issue that you hear children's leaders talking a lot about today? And what are your issues on how to solve that? What you're seeing. But first of all, did you just write a new book?
I did. I wrote a new book. I'm always writing books.
Okay. Do you have a new one out? Because I think I had seen that.
The latest one is The Progressive Children's Ministry Leader.
Okay.
And Jason, can I tell you? I'm going to tell you a secret.
Yes.
And it was so hard for me because we were thinking about what the perfect title of this was.
Yeah.
And this was in the midst of political mudslinging, racial unrest, where the definition of progressive had completely transformed. And I could say, you know what? You cannot have the word progressive.
Exactly.
Progressive means moving forward. And my entire ministry is about moving children's ministry forward. It's about raising up progressive children's ministry leaders who are constantly moving forward with a spirit of excellence to reach the next generation for Christ. And my husband is like, you are going to get stoned and you are crazy naming the book this. But we did, and it was completely fine. But what was funny is a woman actually did a review on the book and she had tagged me, and the whole review had to do with how it's not political at all, because she read it from a political perspective. We're just not that political.
I love it.
We just love Jesus.
Listen, I mean, the enemy can't steal the words that really need to. Yeah. It's amazing what he tries to steal and what he tries to counterfeit. I mean, we always have to be moving forward. If you're not moving forward, you're dying. And
even now, it's funny. Well, it's not as funny, but even with the rain, I think the same thing about the rain. When I see a rainbow in the sky, I pause and I think about the covenant promises of God and how our God is faithful. I mean, it's just hard for me when the world takes it. I'm like, you can't have it.
It's funny you say that, because that's exactly where my mind went just a minute ago, is the rainbow. I mean, every time, it is uncanny how I'll be struggling and I look out my window, driving on the way to church or whatever, and there's this giant rainbow.
Yeah.
And I go, thank you, God, that you're the God who keeps your promises. And, I just am amazed. So, where do they find the book? It's on Amazon. It's on your website.
It's everywhere. I always tell people, don't follow me, follow Jesus. But if you would like to follow me.
Right.
It is. It's on Amazon. And we'll get into that, because there are so many amazing resources out there that are not by me that have helped me to grow just exponentially.
Leaders that are listening and you heard the word progressive and you just got offended, make a fist and let it go. All right. Like, just let it go. It's all good. And hear the heart behind it. I think that's good. So going back to, so what's one thing you hear children's leaders talking a lot about, and how do we solve the issue?
Oh my goodness. There are like so many. I think one of the biggest issues, well, I mean, kind of what we talked about, so maybe I'll mention too. I think one of the biggest issues that I've definitely been reading on how, you know, we've messed up this entire time. There is this huge decline in the church. Young people are leaving the church. And I've been reading a lot about, you know, the issue is, you know, we've had too much fun and we've been too relevant and, you know, things like that. And I have to say, and I read these things by amazing colleagues who I adore and love, and yep. I take their stuff, and it has helped me to become the leader that I am today. But I have to say that I disagree just a little bit when it comes to, hey, we have to stop being relevant. We have to stop having fun. The future of children's ministry is community. I think that we've always kind of known that, that community is important. Building relationships with children is so important. But let me tell you, I think that kids are always going to be kids.
Yes.
And if we are going to reach children, you can't take out the fun. I mean, you just can't. You still have to have fun. You still have to find creative ways to make God's word come alive. And the whole point of fun is just a hook.
It is
a hook to a greater truth. But to take the hook out and say, hey, today we are going to read the Apostles' Creed.
Kids are like, oh my goodness.
Yeah. And I think maybe even taking the Apostles' Creed, you know, I've read articles about this and making it fun, but you have to have fun, because let me tell you what happens when you don't have fun, because children like to have fun in children's ministry.
Yes.
This is what happens. They're going to tell their parents, this place sucks. Yes. I don't want to be here. We are moving into a generation that is, I mean, if you look at the statistics, parents are not as committed to one space. They are sheep shuffling. They will easily move to another church. So if they keep hearing, mom and dad, this is torture. Mom and dad, I hate this place. Mom and dad, this is no fun. Ultimately, mom and dad are going to leave the church.
Yes. Yeah, and totally.
They're gonna find a place for the entire family. So one of the things that I say is, yes, remember that it's just a hook.
Yeah.
So, but still, please, please keep the fun and please still be relevant. I am just a firm believer. I know, you know, we're trying to figure out what's going on, what's happening. But I think choosing not to be relevant is not the answer. I'm a firm believer that we still need to be relevant. And I think if we look at ourselves, the truth is we haven't been as relevant as we think we are.
Yes.
I mean, even Jason, I'll tell you, with LGBTQ, these are things that we never had to think about in children's ministry, maybe in youth ministry, but in children's ministry. And I'll tell you, the last three children's ministries that I have been a part of, literally, we have had a child. This is not a youth. This is a child in the children's ministry who is in transition, where they're in a situation to where their parents are supporting that truth. So now we are stuck between a rock and a hard place. Everyone's panicking. You know, what do we do? But I guess I'll ask your audience, how often do us, you know, as children's ministry leaders, pick up a book to try to learn psychologically what is going on in a child who is a boy who is feeling that they have been born a girl? What's happening? And I think that if we really did our homework, which I don't believe that we're really doing, I think we get caught up in the motions of ministry. If we really doing our homework, then we will position ourselves to be in a place to really reach every child where they are. And I'm a firm believer. Please pick up the word of God. The word of God is important. There is no buts about that. With that being said, God has given us wisdom. He has given us resources out there. As leaders, we need to be growing and growing and growing and growing. And if you have a child that comes in like that, it is our responsibility as leaders to make sure that we're growing in these specific areas. If we have a child, you know, I will never forget Jason talking to a child, and it was a beautiful day outside. And I said, oh, man, I bet you can't wait to go outside. And he said, yeah, Miss Esther, that's great. But we don't go outside in my neighborhood because too many people get killed and it's always gunshots. So he's dealing with gun violence. And we have a child in our ministry. Have you read a blog post or an article about what it's like to be a child and to be experiencing that type of trauma?
Yeah.
I think if we were to admit it, we would find out that a lot of us, we don't. And right. We pray, and prayer is good. Lord, fill us with the right words and this and that. And God's like, I'm giving you 50 million resources out yeah. there, you know.
I agree with you. And I think that the challenge with it is that we aren't doing our homework. Yes, we have yeah. the scripture, but how do we apply that scripture? How do we, I mean, when you've got a lesbian couple that shows yeah. up and they've got yeah. like, how do we as leaders apply that scripture and really yeah. apply it in love, first of all,
yeah.
and help to come alongside and be there. And I think you're absolutely yeah. right. We have not talked about these issues. And yeah. I think there are so many issues. And I'll tell you, one of the things you said about fun that really resonated with me is kids learn better when they're having fun.
Yes! Like,
they're going to remember the fun times more than the Apostle Creed any day of the yeah. week. They're going to remember what you inserted into their lives.
Yeah.
And if you're not having fun in kids ministry, you're missing the boat. Like, relax yes. a little bit, have more fun. Like, I think, you know, and if you're a fun sponge, get people in there that are going to be fun, right? I mean, like, you got
to
have
be a fun sponge. That yes. that needs to be the title of this podcast.
Yes, exactly. What did you say? Rid the fun sponge?
Yeah. Be a fun sponge, okay?
Yes, exactly. Yeah, no, I mean, I resonate. I think it's so true. And, you know, looking and equipping ourselves to be able to deal yeah. with this stuff, you yeah. know, and have you primarily been in the Bible Belt in your children's ministry? Tell me your, like, what your journey has led. Where have you been?
Oh, my goodness. So I will tell you. So obviously now I'm in the South.
Yeah.
So obviously I live in the Bible Belt, which is so much different. So I was from Chicago.
Okay.
And I thought the Lord was playing a trick on me when he said that we were moving to Alabama.
Right. Yes.
What?
Yeah.
So Jason, the only thing that I knew about Alabama was the civil rights movement. And why yes. are you doing this to me?
Yes, exactly. Exactly.
But you're right. It is. So now we went from that to the Bible Belt. And what I notice is this intimacy with God is a little more stoic
yes.
in the Bible Belt, because it's like expected. This is, yep. you know, the Bible Belt. So it's kind of easier to mix it with politics, I believe, in the South.
Yes.
So that's kind of, I mean, that's kind of my history.
Okay.
So it's definitely been, I would say it's definitely been a journey, especially in the children's ministry field, just with, I would say that these past couple of years have probably not been our finest hour.
Right. Oh yeah. Right. Exactly.
Yeah. As the church.
Yes.
So just navigating through that. So I felt like I was in this comfort zone, and then God just kind of picked me up and just mm-hmm. dropped me in a fire and said, have fun. You're going to make it, baby. Don't worry. I'm here.
I'm here with you. Well, and the only reason I ask is because I think sometimes, like, I live out in Oregon, so I mean, yeah. very liberal, but sometimes I think people and leaders in the Bible Belt feel like, oh, we're not going to deal with those issues. Like what you mentioned with the transitioning, and I'm here to yeah. say it's everywhere. Like, yeah. get ready for it. No matter where you're at, you're not
Jason,
insulated.
Jason, literally, we just had a church that stayed in our home. It was a youth group. And they were saying, hey, we know that you're kind of halfway point for us. So do you mind if we just completely take over your home with all the teenagers and go to this event? And the most unique thing about it was, so they had just lost their youth pastor.
Okay.
And they had this is the hardest thing about what I do, because in order to help people, I have to share stories.
Yes, right.
And people listen to this stuff and they're like, oh my goodness. But I think that is so important. So they had a leader where his daughter was actually, she had a girlfriend.
Wow.
So the daughter had a girlfriend, and the girlfriend was a part of the youth group. So, you and they would hold hands and this and that. So when you ask leadership kind of where they stood with it, everyone was all over the place.
Yeah.
Well, have you guys had a meeting about where you stand with this and this is how you respond to this? Well, no. Have you talked to the guy who you are allowing to be in leadership about where he stands and kind of what's going on? Well, no. So it was this fear type of thing. And I think in ministry, sometimes we can get so hungry to keep people. You know, we want our people. We don't want to offend our people because we need people that we just kind of let things slide. So I think that they kind of represent tons of churches, you know, across the country who are like, we don't know how to touch this issue. We are freaking out. We don't want to hurt people. We don't want to offend people. But I do think it's important because now it's in children's ministry. I mean, there's no, it's everywhere. It's in our programming. This is something that is being pushed everywhere. I think that it's important for children's ministries and really for churches as a whole to come together, to have a plan. How are we going to handle this? How are we going to protect people? Because we love everybody. Yes. We're not protesting and saying, God hates you. That is not Jesus. That is not God. Exactly. But we do love you so much that we don't want you to stay where you are. So it's a controversial topic. And I have been to churches where you will go to the churches and they have the rainbow stoles. I've been to churches where they have just sworn that off. But regardless of where you stand, I do think it's important that you have a plan where everyone is on the same page. Yes. Unless we risk really violating the dignity of a human. Every human being deserves dignity. And when we're all scattered and on different pages, it just becomes a disaster. And I think historically, we sweep things under the rug. I mean, we just do as a church. I mean, we have a big broom that says church.
Right. Just sweeping it. Well, and I think it's because people don't know what to do with it. Like there's, you know, I mean, it's like, okay, how do we respond to this in a way that is loving, but also not affirming? And, you know, like, hey, we love you. We want to walk you through this. You know, and I think one of the biggest parts of this whole thing is really listening to God's voice on how to deal with it. Like God knows how to deal with it. And that's something that I encourage people all the time. What's God saying to you in this setup? Yeah, as a leader, like how does God want you to approach it? And listening to his voice, it goes back to that, right? Because he knows, like even introducing people to God's voice. So let's say, you know, you are living that kind of a lifestyle. Man, if we provide an atmosphere where God's voice can speak to people, if he wants to change them, he will. Yeah. And, you know, it's in that matter. It's not our job to change people. It's not our job. It's our job to love them. Right. And our youth pastor says something that I think is so important is what if that's not what God wants to deal with first in that person's life?
Yeah. Yeah.
That's powerful. I mean, like that's powerful. And even in our kids, what if what we're looking at is not what God wants to deal with first in that person's life?
Yeah. And I think, Jason, we don't need to walk in fear.
No.
When it comes to these topics, I think one of the most painful things for me with all the racial unrest, you know, that occurred in this past season and being a part of a predominantly white space, you know, a predominantly white church.
Yeah.
That same type of fear kicked in. We don't know what to say to Esther. So instead of really coming around me and loving me, I would actively see people, oh man, we gotta get out of here. They're running for the hills. And I know it's because they're scared.
Right.
They don't know what to say. What if they say the wrong thing? And I think that is what has prevented us from really being relevant in children's ministry.
Yes.
We're scared. We don't know what to say. What if we say the wrong thing? What if a parent complains? But I think that is so important that we really get into what children are going through. I want children to know about David and Goliath. I want them to know all of these Bible stories, but I want them, listen, Jason, if they're not able to take those stories and go out into the world and apply them to what they're going through, then it's going to fall flat because the world is telling them that God is not relevant, that Christianity is a cult, that they're just trying to get you to do what they want you to do. But that's not true. Truth is whatever you want it to be. So we have to fight to be relevant. We have to fight to let them know that our God is just as relevant for every issue, for every situation, for every problem and struggle that you are going through. I don't care what it is, whether it is the bully on the playground, whether it's self-image issues, there's an answer to that. And the answer is Jesus. So I just think that is so important that we fight, like we were talking about, educate ourselves, because I think this generation is past. The Bible says.
Right. Oh, yeah. Yes. Yes. Or do as I say, not as I do. That's another big thing that this generation is past. I mean,
and we think they don't see it, Jason. We think they don't see us.
Yeah.
We think that they don't see us doing the absolute opposite. You know, I read a podcast, I think it was like Carrie Newhoff's, and it was a younger person who was writing kind of like their perspective on like this past season and what the church needs to do, because everyone's panicking. The church is in decline. And I'm like, look, Jesus did it on the cross. We're going to be okay.
Yes, we are. And I'm going to tell you, there's more opportunity than ever to reach people, because there's more hurting and broken and lost people than ever before. 100%. So, you know, decline 100%. Is all in the eye of the beholder.
it's funny because it reminds me of Elijah when he was, you know, oh, I'm the only one left. And the Lord's like, stop being cocky, relax. I have these other people who I have, you know, preserved for me. But this young man, he's writing and he's like, well, the first thing that the church needs to do is apologize, because you have not been a good example of Christ to us. And I read that and it just hit me to my core, because I'm like, yes, we are sorry. We have messed up. We have taken things that are not of God and we have elevated them over God and said, this is God. And you have to be this, or you have to follow this political party or this political party. And it's just not true. So
it's not.
We got to come clean. I am apologizing for the church as a whole. So yeah. I'm praying that this podcast gets out to everyone.
Yes, I know. I'm with you. And the things that we've held on to that are important, that aren't important, you know, I mean, I think you bring up an interesting question. And I'm going to go there. How do we, when it comes to the racial issues and the racial divide, what's the best way to figure that out together?
Well, I think one, I would say we have to acknowledge that this is affecting everyone, including children. And I'll tell you, the last space that I had the honor to be a part of, because I've never been to a church. Listen, it's so funny. I be hearing people trash their churches and their past churches, and I'm like,
Yes. Like,
the church is full of broken people. I am so on. There's not been a church space that I have not been a part of where I have not grown in the Lord, where I've not taken the wisdom of what I've learned and taken it into a new space because of how God has used those leaders. But the last church we were a part of, they really struggled, you know, through all of the racial unrest. And the biggest thing that had occurred, there was a situation where a little kid in the children's ministry, he was six years old. And he said, white people are better than black people at everything. Everybody knows that. And I'm like, this little boy is 6 years old.
And it's
6 year olds don't just say that.
Yeah.
He is picking that up from his worldview, from the vacuum that he is growing up in, that his race is superior. So yep. I think the first thing that we need to do is to acknowledge that it's already happening with our babies.
Yeah,
so
that is crazy.
If their worldview about God and about life is already formed by the time they're 13, that means it starts in children's ministry. So I think really acknowledging that and being more relevant in how we teach lessons and how we are inclusive, even in the children's ministry curriculum that we choose. Jason, I will never forget. And it's so funny because my friend did this curriculum. Like, I know this person and I would never put them on Jump Street.
Right.
But it was so funny because my husband, he's watching it. We're sitting in children's ministry and they're talking about Revelations. Oh, this is going to be great. People from every tribe and tongue and, you know, race and, you know, ethnicity, we're going to come together and it's going to be this beautiful party. And they're doing it. And what they didn't realize, they have these images up. So they have all of these people of different skin tones and they totally look like peasants, right? From like the Roman Catholic.
Wow. Wow.
They look like peasants. But when you look at God and Jesus and the angels, they were all white. They had blue eyes and blonde hair. And it was so crazy because what you just said When you're just trying to talk about how beautiful this is, what you really said is that white represents purity and holiness. Wow. And for a child who comes into a space who does not represent the majority. And I just share this, Jason, because.
No, please.
This has been my experience. We just for my son, we had the the same issue in the school system, crying, totally scared to go to school, didn't know what was going on. Kids on the playground told him that brown kids are not allowed to play this game. So they you just can't. He didn't play a game on the playground for a year, became this huge issue. Long story short, that led to us leading a training about being inclusive and making sure that every child feels welcome, especially the ones who do not represent the majority. But what that taught me about children's ministry, because at the time we were a part of a predominantly white church, how does that make a child like my son who's sitting in the back?
Yes.
They're now representing the majority. And we think we're teaching them about Jesus. And they see that curriculum on the screen. And it further reinforces that their race is inferior to this one that is holy, that is pure. So I just think that is so important in children because we don't pay attention to this, Jace. These are things that we miss. I will never forget taking my daughter to the American Girl doll store in Chicago, which is like, this is like a huge museum. And I'm
yes, I've been in one of those stores.
It's gonna be amazing because Jason, the dolls are like a freaking $1 million.
And they yes.
My baby gonna leave with a doll that looked just like her.
Exactly, exactly.
So we're going through this. And part of my story is we ended up more in predominantly white spaces, and really they paid money for children's ministry leaders.
Yes.
Maybe why that happened, but whatever the reason is, and I know part of it was God was placing me there to be a bridge of truth to help people to see. But I will never forget, we go through and we finally go through this whole museum. It's an amazing experience in Chicago. And we get to the part where it's time to pick out a doll. And my daughter, Grace, she's looking at all these dolls and she's like, oh my goodness, this is great. And every doll that has her skin tone, that has her hair, she's like, I don't want it. Get out of here. I don't want it. No.
Wow.
So it gets to the point where I'm like, listen, I want her to be happy. I don't care if she has an Asian, white, whatever doll she wants. I want her to be happy. Yep. But I have to know, why is she so turned off from every doll that looks like her? So I took her off to the side and said, I just want to know, what is the difference? It's a white doll she had with the straight hair. What is the difference between this doll and this doll? And she said, mommy, this doll's skin is prettier than this doll.
Oh my goodness.
And for me, as a children's pastor, thinking my kids are growing up in the church, I'm doing it the right way. They're learning about Jesus every Sunday. And to realize that this was an issue, this was something every Sunday, in addition to all the Bible stories that was being formed in her.
Yes.
Was devastating for me. Yep. And it was such a wake up call to me as who I am, from where I come from, on how important it is to really be intentional when it comes to making sure every child feels included, that every child knows that they are beautiful, that every child knows that God did not make mistakes, that you have been created exactly how you have been created for God's glory. And he has a purpose and a plan, and that no race is inferior, that, you know. And so part of my mission in children's ministry has been to share, hey, listen, I know this is uncomfortable, but we have to pay attention to these things. This is a serious thing that is happening in children's ministry. So it is just, and it's crazy because I don't want to be like the Black Panther of children's ministry.
But it's a topic you have to, I mean, the thing that I think that you just mentioned, every one of us have unwritten curriculum that happens in our kids' ministry without even, and maybe even unspoken sometimes. And we have to look back and go, okay, what is that unspoken, unwritten thing that's happening that is on top of what we're already teaching? And like the comment about Revelation, it's like, man, you've got to look at those things and go, okay.
Yeah.
And it's not a fear. It's more of like going, okay, like we want to include, like, because it's not about black or white, but it's about the body of Christ when we all come together.
Yeah.
And we all have that in common. You know?
Jason, and I'll tell you, even with the curriculum example that I gave, I guarantee 100% that I know the creator of that curriculum.
No one thought about it.
They had the most, their heart is so pure. Like they completely missed that. But yes. I mean, it was, and I knew that. I was like, you just completely dropped the ball and missed that. Because if you knew that, you would have never, you know, put that in there. So that's why it's so important that we have to be intentional when we're teaching these lessons. And whether you buy a curriculum or you're creating curriculum, when you are going through it, how can you make it come alive for what kids are going through today?
Yes.
What are kids facing today? And just that same concept that we keep going back to, we have got to do our homework as ambassadors of Christ to the next generation. It is our responsibility to know where children's ministry is going, what's happening in the life, what are kids facing, you know, what are they seeing, what are they being exposed to when they are outside the four walls of this space? What are parents going through?
Yes.
How can we support the parent? Because I'm a firm believer, you know, people talk about, you know, we need to do this and we need to stop. We have too much fun. Everyone's trying to figure out what is the problem. You know, we have to keep the children and this and that. But you can't say, hey, I'm going to build this great children's ministry and ignore parents.
No.
And parents are not.
Yeah. Yes. Because how much time do parents have every week with their kids? I mean, and that's the thing.
More than us.
Way more. You know, and so for kids ministry leaders who go, well, I'm just in it for the kids. No, you got to be in it for the parents too. And I think churches have to start saying, okay, how do we equip these parents who have not had a good example? How do we deal with the issues that are happening? So when we pastored in St. Louis, we literally were 10 minutes away from the Michael Brown stuff. And in a predominantly white church, where people wanted to stick their head in the sand. And I said, no, we are not going to stick our head in the sand. Like if St. Louis goes down, we go down. So what do we do to change that? And how do we speak in? And part of that is just listening. Part of it is having a conversation like we're having today and just listening to what can be done, not just like always talking. Cause I think we always talk and we miss out on what, you know, the nuggets and the truths that we can learn together.
100%. I think that parents want to do a good job. And I think that at times in children's ministry, we act like we're the end all be all. Yes. Like the kids will be saved through us.
Right.
And I'm like, not true. Yeah. And I'm like, and I'll tell you too, Jason, during the pandemic, and it was so funny because my husband reminded me of this, you know, all the churches shut down. Yeah. And I'm immediately thinking of, what about children's ministry? What about the kids? What are we going to do for these kids? Because I have realized, I have to confess, that I have become dependent on children's ministry as a children's ministry leader.
Wow, that's
my
good.
Kids. So my husband is like, okay, weirdo, you are a nationally known children's ministry leader.
The Did he say weirdo? I want to meet your husband.
Probably
I can't wait.
Worse than that.
We'll have to have him on the next time.
My God, he's so much fun. But I'm like, he's like, what do you mean? What are we going to do? We're going to do the same thing that we did every Sunday, and we're going to do it in our home. But it was such a reminder to me. I feel like we've created this culture where we're like, parents depend on us to be the spiritual guides for your children when they have the kids so much longer than us. What an incredible opportunity to partner with parents to say, to study, to do, there's that homework thing again. We hate homework.
Yes, we do.
But to do our homework and say, what are parents going through? What are they struggling with financially? Yeah. So many people lost their jobs. You know, what can we do to help support the parent? How can we disciple them, even digitally? How can we make sure that we are truly doing what we can to disciple them, to help them, to support them, to be the spiritual guides in their home? Because the truth is, they want to be that. They just don't feel equipped. And if we keep taking the job from them and saying, no, you know, we're learning this, and then we get lazy. Sometimes we suck. I mean, we get so overwhelmed with everything that's going on in ministry that the truth is, we make it all about ourselves. And we don't, that sounds great, but we don't have time for that.
Yeah.
And I think one of the biggest issues in children's ministry is that we are so busy doing that we're not leading, that we're not growing. And we blame it on well, this is the problem, and fun is the problem, and this is the
not no, enough volunteers, not enough. Yeah. We're always looking at what we don't have instead of what we have.
We're not training people. You know what? I would quit too if you threw me in a classroom and I wanted to be successful and I was completely unequipped and you did not do a thing to help me to be successful because you're too busy going over a lesson that someone else should be doing. So you don't have time to lead. So it's this hamster on a wheel type of thing that we're doing in children's ministry. And we're like, we don't know what's going on. And I'm like, we need to get more serious about creating disciples and discipleship. When people come on board to serve, how are you creating a disciple out of them? What is it that they want to do that they feel like God has? Have you even asked them, what do you feel like God has called for you to do? Or are you just putting them as a warm body in a slot where you want them to be? And you're pushing this, well, you know, we have to be flexible. Your ministry is going to continue to be in survival mode instead of thriving because you have these unhealthy practices. You are creating a culture where you do everything. You're creating a culture where it's your way or the highway. I mean, culture is everything in children's ministry. And what type of culture are you creating?
And you can feel it when you walk in the door. Literally, like, if you don't like the culture in your church, if you don't like the feeling, like, and there's times like maybe you're saying, I don't even want to go to that church. It's time to change the culture, and culture is what you feel. And when you walk in the door, and I think you bring up a good point about leadership. You need to do what only you can do and then train for the other things that other people can do. You're not the only one that can do the lesson. Get some other people up there. You're the only one that can connect with parents and can like be the cheerleader and the keeper of the vision. But man, you've got to get a team around you that can do the things that you can pass off. Because man, our goal, I think, as children's leaders is to work ourselves out of a job and be freed up. You know, I mean, honestly. And so, you know, I always think too, when I hear people, like I go and our rule at our church is you're never going to be allowed to beg for volunteers from the front, because to me, people are going like, well, what did they do with the other ones they already had? Like, why do I want to enter that ministry? You know? So we always flip that around and go, man, we want to give you the opportunity to find a great place to serve. We're not desperate for you, even though we might be, and we're like, you know, whatever, but we're not going to let them see us sweat because, man, out of desperation, bad things happen.
Why do people be telling all their business? That's what I be saying. Like, they don't need to know all the business.
Yeah. Yeah. And desperate.
Nobody wants to join a Titanic. Like, they going to die on the Titanic. They going to drown. Like, why? And I see that all the time. I see people make these desperate pleas and these announcements. And I can always read past them. And other people can, too. You don't have any help. So if I go back there, I'm going to be doing everything. And if you have a culture where there's no training, those kids may eat me alive.
Exactly. And I'll be stuck there forever. I mean, that's just the truth of it. I mean, and so, you know, don't. And the thing is, you've got to work yourself out of that kind of a mentality. If you're there right now, like, you start working. What's the first step you can take? Take it one step at a time. What's the first step that you can take and start taking those steps? You know,
I mean, so true.
Man, this has been so good. So what's one great resource you'd recommend for kids leaders?
Oh, my goodness. They're so
there's a lot.
The resources are vast. I want to be selfish and say resource.
Do it. That's why you're on. You've got great resources.
So we just came up with a resource called Esther on Demand. I know it may sound corny, but it seemed like the best name
at
the time. But really what it was all about and really what it stemmed from was this passion to create training for those who were not able to send their whole team to a conference. I am such a firm believer, Jason, that training is so important. You've got to equip your people. You cannot, if someone is in a preschool classroom, how have you equipped them to be successful with preschoolers? If someone is greeting, how have you equipped them when a child comes in who is 100% living in darkness and you have no clue? How have you trained the greeter to greet them, to let them know that this is the place where they are welcome? When we don't train, we are missing the boat. So really, Esther on Demand was this way to take away all of the excuses from people who are like, we can't train, we can't afford hundreds or thousands of dollars to send a team to a conference. Well, Esther on Demand is a digital resource You get your team together, even if it's on Zoom, and you can show them, you can have a pizza night, show it on Zoom. Everyone has their pizza delivered to their home. And it's an easy way for people to grow. So that is definitely a platform and a resource that I would recommend. On Facebook, we have a Children's Ministry Moving Forward page, which I love. And I'm not just trying to push free stuff. I love this because it is free. And so many people, I've been a part of so many churches, and I've seen and I've trained and I have flown out to churches where they are just struggling financially. That is a reality in ministry. Every church is not a mega church. Most churches are regular sized churches.
Right.
They do not represent a huge church. They do not represent huge budgets. So I love the Children's Ministry Moving Forward page. And I love it, Jason, because I don't push people. I do not advertise this page. Everyone who has come on the page, they have asked, hey, can I be a part of this page? They are children's ministry leaders who are looking to just really grow. Every third Tuesday of the month, we have just a live conversation with amazing leaders. Jim Wideman was on it the other day, who has no filter, which is why I love him the most.
Jim Wideman is great.
No filter, and it's getting worse, which makes me more excited because
Never know what he's gonna say. I love it.
Yeah, but I mean, and these people, they know that this is a free resource, and they come on and we have conversations and we allow people to come on and ask us their questions. Tell us about your burnout. Let's address. Sometimes we have taken conversations and completely switched it based off of the people who show up. Guess what? They're hungry for this. So we were going to completely switch the topic and begin to talk about these things. But really, I would encourage children's ministry leaders, whether it's my resource or whatever, make sure you pick up resources that are not just Christian resources, but that will help you to grow in certain areas. We have got to learn how you can't throw out the baby with the bathwater.
Right.
You're looking to know what's going on in the world today, what's happening, what's being taught. What is the culture? That's what the Apostle Paul did. He learned the language. He learned the culture. And it was for the purposes of reaching them right where they are. We cannot reach people right where they are if we do not know what's going on in the world of digital technology.
Yes.
What's coming next? What's coming down the pipeline? What is the new trend or even maybe thing that is not Christ-like that people are pushing, that's being pushed on children? We need to know those things. The church is always the last to know or the last to actually make a move. And by that point, they are on to something completely different.
So, totally. And there's no excuse because we have all the information. All the information is at our fingertips. You know,
all
and
the
so lead pastors that are watching today, I want to encourage you, make training a priority for your kids' ministry people. Get them to a conference, put a budget in there. Like, you know, even mega churches, you know, they don't have big budgets. It's surprising when you start digging in, but make training a priority. Children's kidmen leaders, pastors, make training a priority. I think that's such a key. And there's great resources out there, but go to a conference, find a place, go to a conference, get connected to Esther's resources. I think that that's a big key and will really encourage your leaders. And so, man, thank you so much.
And Jason, I would say too, keep coming back to this podcast.
Yes.
I mean, please. I was scrolling down and I was checking out this podcast and I'm scrolling down and all of the incredible leaders that are a part of this. And we have got to constantly just be growing. I see the children's ministry leader who is overwhelmed, who has a family to take care of. They have a ministry that they are over. While you're washing dishes, cooking dinner, listen to this podcast, put it in your ears, scroll down and listen to all of the incredible leaders that are out there, that are there, who God has placed to add wisdom to your cup. Because Jason, I will tell you, I would not be where I am without the Reggie Joiners, without the Jim Whitemans, without the Dale Hudson, without the Craig Rutillas.
Yes.
I was just reading some of his resources. All of that wisdom that was there that God has put into them, that I had to be intentional and take advantage of that wisdom. And then God began to do something in me. So
isn't that great? I mean, those are all the people I cut my teeth with too, as a children's pastor. I mean, like the wisdom that they have, and it's out there. So the support is there, you know, you can find the information. man, do become part of the Kidman tribe. We are one big tribe. Yeah. And we carry each other together. And that's why I love to champion and highlight other people that are in this space. And especially on this podcast. So man, we're time's up. We're going to have to do this again, because I think really digging in, but will you pray for the leaders that are here, on our way out? And listen, if you need training, I know Esther travels to churches, and you know, there's a lot of great resources there. Go to her website, which is what? What's your website?
Oh, my website is www.childheart83.com. So now you can tell what year I was born.
83, a spring chicken, young. All right. Will you pray for us on our way out today?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Father, we thank you today. Father, we thank you that you are a good God. Father, we thank you that you are a faithful God. Father, I pray for each and every children's ministry leader that is under my voice. I thank you, Father, that I don't need to know them personally, God, that Jason does not need to know them personally, because you know them, Father God, because you created them and knit them in their mother's womb, and you know exactly what they need. Father, I pray that you would empower them. Father, I pray for whatever need that they have, Father, that you would show them, Lord, even those who are discouraged, who the great provider is, Father, that you are the great provider. Father, if someone is watching and they are lacking confidence, Father, that you would fill them with confidence. Father, if somebody is watching and listening and their joy has been taken, Father, that you will restore all joy, Father. Their peace has been taken, that you will restore all peace, Father God, that you will meet them where they are and help them, Father, to walk in your spirit of wisdom, Father God, when it comes to going forth in the spirit of excellence. Father, I pray that you would anoint each and every person who is listening and who is watching with your spirit of wisdom, Father, that you would shower them with your favor, that your favor would go before them, behind them, and on every side of them. Transform them, Lord, from the inside out to be the leaders that you have called for them to be, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you so much, Esther. Kidman leaders that are listening, I'd love to hear from you. You can go to thekidmantribe.com/mailbag. Love to hear your thoughts, your comments, your questions. Esther, I want to have you on again. And so this has been so good. And thank you so much for being on.
Oh my goodness. No problem. Thanks for having me. I love this tribe.
Hey, amen. All right, guys. Thanks so much. We're out for now. We'll catch you next time on the Kidman Tribe podcast.
Hey guys, Jess and Dave here from Doorpost Songs. We've partnered with 1230 Kids to bring you a brand new Christmas curriculum called Unto Us. It's all about how ordinary people encountered an extraordinary Savior.
There are 5 lessons which you can use for 4 weeks of Advent plus Christmas Eve. And you're gonna love all the custom media that's included, awesome activities, plus 5 of our Christmas songs with lyric videos and hand motions, simple lesson plans, and ready-made presentation files. You can also print these Advent passports for your kids to get stamped every week when they come.
Your kids will love learning about ordinary people like Isaiah, Mary, Joseph, the Magi, and even Paul. But best of all, they'll walk away with an understanding of the gospel. This Christmas, don't miss this chance to tell your kids the story of their extraordinary Savior.
We would love to hear from you. What are some of the thoughts, questions, ideas you would like to hear more about? You can submit your thoughts and questions to thekidmantribe.com/mailbag. And be sure to share this podcast with everyone you know.
Hey, everyone. Thanks so much for joining us on the Kidman Tribe podcast for this edition. Esther just poured life into us. Esther was a breath of fresh air. I hope you enjoyed it as we got into the children's ministry trenches and talked about some of the topics that we're all being challenged with today and really how to work through those. Hey, if you love the Kidman Tribe podcast, will you please go on, subscribe to wherever you get podcasts, leave a rating and a comment, help us move up in the rankings. I would so appreciate it. Also, if you would go onto your social media today, your Facebook, your Instagram, Twitter, wherever you go, and share about the Kidman Tribe podcast, share this edition, I would greatly appreciate it. Our goal is to help kids ministry leaders around the world, and we'd be so thankful if you partner with us in getting the word out to the Kidman leaders that you know on your social media. Hey, also, if you'd like to find us online, we're at thekidmantribe.com. That's kidmantribe.com. We have a mailbag. You can go and share your thoughts, your comments, your ideas. If you have questions, anything we can help you with, share it at the mailbag. We'll be back in touch with you, and we'll probably share it here on the show.
Also, on the Kidman Tribe website, you can find all of our swag, which is great to buy for your leaders to show how much you appreciate them, how much you love them. Tell them that you're glad they're part of your tribe. In addition, you can find our bi-weekly blog, which is every other week when we're not releasing the podcast. We have a great blog focused on training and equipping. And then the other weeks, we have the Kidman Tribe podcast. And so to find all of the old editions of the podcast, you can go online to kidmantribe.com. You'll also find that there. Now, I want to leave you with the final thought today, something that's so important and really so important that we take great value in, and that is our volunteers. Our volunteers are the backbone of our ministry. In fact, your volunteers are who is going to reach the next generation through you. And I want to encourage you, they are one of the greatest assets that you have. It's so important to take time to appreciate them, to love them, to encourage them, and to equip them. And this week, I want to encourage you, find a way to very much intentionally show them how much you appreciate your volunteers. Appreciate them, equip them. You could share this edition of the Kidman Tribe podcast with them. Whatever you can do to let them know that they're valuable to you is so important. It's the greatest asset that you have. 95% of our time should be built on building teams and really getting the finest volunteers to serve in our kids ministry. And when they say yes, man, let's love them, let's appreciate them, and let's let them know that we really do care. Hey, in 2 weeks, we're gonna have a great guest from Answers in Genesis, Stacia McKeever. You're gonna love this interview. She's worked in Answers for Genesis USA since 1997. She's co-authored the Answers for Kids sections in Answers magazine for several years and has written or co-authored a number of articles for Answers and the AIG website. She has a BS in biology and a BA in psychology from Clearwater Christian College. Stacia has conducted hands-on workshops for young children around the United States for several years and has written a lot of curriculum, Answers for Bible Kids curriculum, and books for elementary age children and adults, including Why is Keiko Sick? Stacia has written for The Godly Businesswoman and Evangelizing Today's Child and has researched the written copy for several Bible-themed calendars. She also serves currently as the project manager for Answers VBS program, which 1230 Kids is a great partner that provides the media and a lot of the great content that goes along with that. And we're so thankful for Stacia, and we're thankful for Answers in Genesis. Hey, in the meantime, go and reach your kids in the world with experiences that will transform their lives. Thank you again for joining me on the Kidman Tribe podcast. You are loved. You're appreciated, and what you do changes lives for eternity. I'm your biggest fan, and I'm cheering you on always. You are my heroes. Go get them, tribe. I will catch you in 2 weeks.
The Kidman Tribe podcast is a production of 1230 Kids. For show notes, archive episodes, and more free resources for your kids' ministry, visit kidmantribe.com.